Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
That's my Zoom recording going. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, you better not include that. We'll have letters.
We'll have letters. What about? What did you say? I didn't hear you say anything.
Oh, good. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Whatever Works. It is our lovely podcast that we believe that people like listening to, but we're not terribly sure. Because the engagement seems to get less and less as time goes on. Of course, it could be a summer thing. People are out at the beach and they're not interested in listening to podcasts, particularly ones where you and I, Aidan Bell, drivel on about bugger all.
Absolutely.
How are you?
I'm starting to take my clothes off already. It's something about podcasting. You know, we sat here, dear listener, Ted and I, chatting for 10 minutes and all was fine. The moment we start recording, I'm thinking, oh, I'm getting hot, and start shedding the layers. Yeah. It's something psychological going on there. Mind you, we are looking at the latest heat wave, and Ted and I are doing our best to get this recording in the can before our various rooms become too hot
to handle.
But yours is even worse, because you're basically living in a tin can, aren't you, Ted? I mean, sympathise. Yeah,
and the sun comes out and it's just like, I'm looking over here now and it's gone up to 28 degrees in this tin can now because of noise. I've got to keep the windows shut. I have got a fan on, actually. I'll turn my fan down a bit because I've forgotten that fan was on full belt. I'll turn that down and then that won't create so much noise. And I have got my blue cloak of water on.
Your blue cloak of what, did you say?
Don't you remember that? Remember the blue cloak of water? I drenched this blue...
Oh, you did say cloak. I thought I'd misheard you. Oh, yes, I remember now. Yes, I do. Yes. Whatever works.
Anyway.
Yes, indeed.
It's show 230 today, and we've made it this far. It's the 11th of August, and it's a Monday morning, and it is bloody hot here in North Wales. It's going to get hotter tomorrow, apparently. It's going to be up to 30 degrees tomorrow. I think the same for you, isn't it?
We've got 32 tomorrow to look forward
32.
To. Oh, gosh, yes. I feel for you today, Ted, because at the moment I'm sitting in 25, which is quite balmy compared to what you're having to put up with. So, balmy with an L, by the way. Anyway, shall we proceed with the show before we both expire?
I wouldn't have anyone say that you're balmy. Whateverworks.works is the website. That's where you'll find our links and in your podcatcher. And don't be brought down by our misery in the heat, because it will pass. One thing that's good about this summer is that these heat waves tend to be very short-lived. They kind of come and hit you for a couple of days and then they're gone again.
Yes, indeed.
Which is quite good. Anyway. Enough of the weather. AidanBell.com, that's where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. And the MeWe group is where we pick up stuff that we've been kind of... other people have been talking about. Before we get there, though, I would just like to say that I had discovered a really good use for that. You remember that Nescafe iced coffee we did on the last show?
Oh, absolutely. The one I discovered in Tesco and can't get enough of. Yes, Ted.
Exactly. Well, I've discovered that it's got a 14-day use-by date on it. And I thought, oh dear, I'm not drinking this quickly enough. What can I do with it? And I was making some porridge at the time, and I thought, why not chuck it in the porridge? That'd be quite nice. Coffee-flavoured porridge. And so I did. And I tell you what, it was really nice. Now, I don't know if it was nice because it had the flavour of vanilla in my particular one. You didn't have the vanilla one. But I really liked it, and I've done it again since. I should use it up that way.
Do you know what? I've not eaten a lot of porridge of late. I used to be quite big on my porridge. I think I shall try that. I think I shall make myself a bowl of porridge and pour some in. Because I have the non-vanilla, just the regular coffee stuff. So I'll see what it's like. Do you know, I had no idea there was a 14-day use-by. Doesn't bother me. I get through it too quickly for that anyway. But, well, you see, I should read the labels.
You might find, because you haven't got the vanilla stuff in it, you might want a bit of sugar, I suppose. But there you go.
Great fun.
We'll have a go at that, the pair of us. Feedback from the group, then.
I bought something not from Amazon. Woo! I bought something from another shop. Other retailers are available. I bought some water butts. All this business about the hot weather and threatening hose pipe bans and take care of water. And I thought, yes, I should be doing my bit. I already got two water butts in the garden. They're each 100 litre, the standard sort of water butt size. One on either side of the garden, collecting water from the drain pipes, as water butts do. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to extend that? So I jumped online and ordered from B&Q. I ordered two water butts in the 200 litre size. And then I had great fun in the garden doing the pipes, connecting one water butt to the other. And I now have two times 300 litres. So basically, I've trebled my literage of water butts in the garden. I have 600 litres altogether of nice, fresh rainwater to use and to save our water, save the planet with the regular water. It was quite funny. The first one of them, I didn't do the job properly. They filled up. I was very perfect timing. I did it just before. Do you remember a few weeks ago now, two or three weeks ago, we had a real deluge of rain. We actually did have some rain for a couple of days and it really pelted. My timing was perfect. I got the water butts on a good day, put them in, and the next day the rain pelted and they filled up. And then a day after that, I went to London with my mother to see a show. And when we came home in the evening, we were sat having dinner, and I looked out in the garden and I saw the lid of the 200 litre water butt on the garden. And I thought, how did that get there? And I went outside and I looked, and the water butt had fallen over because I hadn't steadied it properly against the wall that it was put by. So I had duly put 200 litres of water on the ground very next to my pond, very, very quickly, very suddenly. So I put all that back together, and now they're fine, and I'm very happy. And as I say, I didn't buy from Amazon, and I have to say there was a satisfaction in having a delivery that wasn't from Amazon. So there you go, water butts. You're very quiet, Ted. You haven't said a word. Are you? Do you approve?
I've not had a chance. You've been gobbing it on ever since we started. What I was going to say was that did you have a quick delivery from B&Q, or was it a bit of a pain?
No, it was. It was really quick. I mean, I don't remember exactly, but it was only, I think, a couple of days. I think it was one of those things where they say delivered in 3 to 5 working days. And so I worked out, I'll get them next week. And then they came a lot quicker than expected, which was made me very happy because I got them in before the rain.
And who did you use for the delivery?
B&Q. It was free delivery.
Who did they use?
Oh, I
what van turned?
Oh, I don't know, Ted. I'm sorry. I didn't know I was supposed to take notes.
Well, no, it's just that couriers and deliveries is a hot topic on this show.
I see.
Always.
No, it's
it'll be interesting. Like for example, how they kept you informed. Did they give you a 1-hour time slot of delivery? These are the kind of things we come back to on this show.
Well, as
don't
I keep saying,
make me sound as though I'm an idiot.
No, I keep saying I'm useless at this show. Maybe I am barmy. well, first of all, I was inclined to think they were B&Q people. I mean, as far as I can remember, it certainly didn't say UPS on the van or DHL or Envy or anything like that. So I think it was B&Q themselves.
Their own. Yeah, okay.
Two burly lads turned up, very, very polite, stuck them where I asked them to and drove away again. No, I didn't get any kind of delivery window because, as I say, I hadn't expected them to come so quickly.
Right.
I was expecting them a couple of days hence, and all of a sudden they just arrived out of the blue. So no, they gave me no delivery window at all. Slap on the wrist.
I'll be more cheerful when it's not so hot.
I just didn't know I was going to get the Spanish Inquisition about my water butt delivery.
Matt Jones is next on the Mazda Bongo. I remember looking at the Mazda Bongo. It's a camper van thingy. And when I was kind of doing motorhoming back in the day, I looked at the Bongo. And it's a really cute little thing. We picked up this 1995 Mazda Bongo, says Matt, and we both absolutely love it. It turns out, owning these things is a bit of a hobby too. Always something to fix or improve, you'd like that, with lots of fun and learning along the way. Admittedly, with potential for headaches and unexpected costs too, but there you go. There seems to be a huge online community for these bongos too. It's a great word, isn't it? We aren't going to be living in the thing. It's possible we might not even ever sleep in it. It's going to be more of a mobile base for days out and touring around. On a nice day, find a beach, park up, chill, wander around, explore, and then go back to the van for a rest. Yeah, that sounds great.
Or a bongo.
Ow, ow, ow. I think a lot of people have these little camper vans and do very similar things, not for serious motorhome.
Yes, indeed. And
touring. So, yeah, nice one. Hope you have fun in it. The Mazda Bongo.
Bongo. It is a good word. You know, there was an old Cliff Richard movie that my mother talked to us about once in a while called Espresso Bongo. And that's even more fun to say. Espresso Bongo. Ronan Molligorda brings us the AKT deodorant balm. Now, this is interesting. Ronan says, I've been using the deodorant by AKT. They are a UK-based company. I've stopped using any other types now, as I find these to be fantastic. And a tube lasts for 6 to 8 weeks for me. Mind you, it's not cheap at £21. Now, here's the bit that worries me. You pop a pea-sized piece on your finger and rub it into the area you want. Job done. Well, no, not job done, because then you've got to wash your finger. Do you know what? It's only because I'm a poof and I just wince at the idea of handling deodorant on my fingers and rubbing it under my armpits. I'm sure it's very good, so... Thank you, Ronan, for a good call, and don't listen to me again. I'm just grumpy in the heat.
Chris Kelly jumped in on that item, and he says that he uses this too. And he said that he uses what's left on his finger to rub somewhere else on his body, and he doesn't waste it, and it gets used somewhere else, not just under his arm. Wipe it off somewhere else.
Every little helps. And Chris Kelly was back also talking about other deodorants as well, wasn't he?
He was. He said in the same breath that he uses Salt of the Earth refillable natural deodorant spray.
That's the
one which is the one that you got.
We
got a delay going.
I think we have. Hello, over. Yeah, no, I was just going to interrupt you, which I shouldn't have done, and say, yes, that's exactly the one that I brought to the show and then unfortunately didn't like, but I'm very pleased that Chris does. Continue. Over.
Thank you. I agree with Aidan that the spray bottle does not provide a fine enough spray. It's more of a, much like Aidan, squirt.
I thank you kindly. Chris goes on to say another vote in favour of the Buy Kitchen Air Fryer Parchment Paper Liners. These were the things that I brought onto the show, what you put in your air fryer so that you don't have to clean the air fryer, you just use the liner and then chuck it. Chris says, I've been using them since you mentioned them on the show, and I thank you for the time and effort I've saved since. You're very welcome, Chris. Thank you for everything you put in.
Very nice indeed. Going back to that word squirt, it's something that, like, from the very 1970s, when we were at school, we regularly called each other squirts. You silly squirt. But you never hear that used in that context anymore. Do you remember that word in that context?
I do, and I remember last show remembering the word bundle that we used to use at school. Here, we got a new item coming now. Words of old. Better before words.
Better, yeah.
Anyway.
I've been using the Chris Kelly goes on. Sorry, over. Chris Kelly goes on to say, I've been using the gentle tap on the counter method of cracking eggs, as we covered on the last show, for years. The secret I found, he says, is to tap hard enough to crack the shell, but not to break the inner membrane. Rotate and repeat, and then use your thumbs to pull it apart, and the shell then sticks to the membrane in that kind of way. I think that's generally what I was saying, based on that what they were doing in that film that I referred to on the last show. But yeah, thank you, Chris, for that support, even though no one else seems to do that. I have been doing it since, and it does work.
I just don't get this, you and Chris, with this like wine sommelier. Oh, this is how you crack an egg. I just whack it with a knife and put it in your food and it's job done. Chris goes on to say, I buy socks. He's covering all our items for the last show. Thank you, Chris. Yeah. Nice one. I buy socks in single colour batches of 10 or 12 at a time, and I use them in strict rotation. Uh-huh. Clean ones go on the left of the drawer and they get taken out from the right side of the drawer to ensure that they age at the same rate. Oh, this is even more than Aidan Bell. I love it. Well done, Chris. Nice one. Yeah, as we discussed in the show, you know, socks and a different kind. And Chris, you know, in the last show, just to remind you all that Ted, you were saying that you were recommending, I think, as a Ted's top tip, to buy socks all of the same colour so you don't have this problem of matching them. And of course, I went on to say, well, yes, that's all very well, but as you wash them, the colours fade. And so even a black sock that was washed 2 weeks ago is going to be a different shade of black from a black sock that was washed 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, that's Chris has got a fix for that. Strict rotation.
Yes, indeed.
Stock rotation.
Over.
He finished. He finishes up by saying something about the camp copy. When we had camp copy, I was a kid. The main reason being that we couldn't afford the real stuff. And he says, I hated it. And I can understand that. It is, I think it is an acquired taste, that whole kind of chicory thing. It was all right. If I had to drink it, I would. But I would certainly choose copy. Any further thoughts?
Well, here's a question, Ted. I mean, we did that taste test on the last show a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now. I haven't drunk a single cup of it since. Have you?
No.
There was the pair of us saying, oh, I could drink this. This is perfectly acceptable. And I was just sat in the kitchen not being drunk. So there you go. I think the facts speak for themselves, don't they?
Somebody jumped into the group after the last show and actually said that to try camp coffee as iced coffee. So in the same way as we did the Nescafe thingy, he or she said, yeah, don't just always have it hot, try it cold with ice. So I haven't done that yet.
Oh, that'd be a waste of a good glass of milk.
No, I think he meant with water and ice, not
ew,
with milk.
Even anyway. Worse.
Yes. Right. I am sitting on a JML soft sitter.
Is that more information than we require? Thank you, Ted.
You can see a picture of it in the show, the recording notes here. And I also put it on the MeWe group, so track that down for anyone that wants to see it. It's a really interesting little kind of concept, which is more expensive than I had thought it would be. But anyway, it's kind of honeycomb structure to it on both sides, and when you sit on it, it kind of collapses in on itself. All the individual honeycomb thingies collapse in on each other and on both sides, and it forms a soft sitting experience. Now some people put a cover around it, and you can buy a cover for it, but I haven't done that. I just chucked it on the chair and I'm sitting on it. Apparently it supports your backside and spine and allows air to circulate. It retains its shape. It does do that. It springs straight back to what it does. You can use it, as I'm doing, on an office chair. Some people apparently use it on their car seat, which is interesting, to get some comfort and air circulation there. Wheelchair users apparently. You can get it in a couple of different colours. I got it from, talking about not going to Amazon, I got it from the original factory shop round the corner from me. And it was on special offer for £10. But the proper price of this is £14.99. And as comfy as it is, I kind of think that £15 seems like an awful lot of money for one of these. When it's just basically all kind of, I don't know, TPU or rubber or something. But I have to admit, it's really, really comfortable. And in the process, incidentally, before I say over, the original factory shop I discovered has got a TikTok page. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes, because it's really funny the way that they've done this. I've never seen anyone do a TikTok page as a retailer. So, funnily, I think. So I'll put a link to the show notes. But yeah, do you fancy one of these?
I thought you were going to say over, but all right.
Oh, over.
Do you know what? My mother has one of these on her desk chair at her computer and swears by it, absolutely gets on with it very, very well and loves it. Moreover, she has two on the wheelchair. I got her one for the wheelchair. And sometimes wheeling her around British roads, it can be very humpy and bumpy. And so I said, well, how about a second cushion? She said, oh, yes, please. So she actually has two. She sits on two at once, a bit like the mattress and the pea, or the princess and the pea, I should say. So I can certainly vouch for them. Also, Ted, I don't know what size yours are, but ours came with covers, and I think we've got at least one spare cover, because I think one of them came with two covers, because it offers you choice of two colours. So if you let me know the dimensions of yours, I might be able to offer you a cover. Over.
I'm not really sure that I want a cover, to be honest. As much as I'm very grateful for your kind offer, I rather like it as it is. The thing is about, I don't know, 15 inches across, I suppose. Well, it's square, 15 inches square, I'd say. Something like that. Maybe they're all the same. Where did you get yours? Do you remember?
No doubt Amazon, I'm sure. Where else?
I saw them on Amazon, and you can buy them on Amazon, but they're even more expensive there. So I went to my Toffs shop. the original factory shop.
Well, if you don't want the cover, then that's fine. I just hope your bum wrinkles fall down the cracks in the silicon.
Balderdash to you. Now, going back to another previous show, you brought to the show the Airfree P40 filterless air purifier some time ago, which was quite an expensive way of getting dust and allergy stuff and smoke and whatever is not supposed to be in the air out of the air. Well, I was looking to do something similar because I keep waking up every day with a headache, and it just, oh, for goodness sake, and no, it's not a hangover. And I thought to myself, how can I get rid of this? I know, I remember Aidan's thingy. So I went on the search, and I went to Gemini, and I started researching it, blah, 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 blah. Your one was £129. I didn't fancy chucking that amount of money at the project in case it didn't work for me. So I found this other one for £50 called the Levoit Core Mini Air Purifier. And I've had it for two nights now, and it, on the first night, I think it was working well. I think it was doing what it's supposed to do. When I woke up in the morning, my sinuses did feel a bit more clear. Now, the second night, the thing I've discovered about this, I think, is that if you've got an air conditioner in the room and you're not sealing the room, or you're not sealing the room, then I don't know if you shut the door and windows and seal your room, but when I asked Gemini, it said to me, you have to get the best benefit from this, you're supposed to seal the room. Don't introduce any new contaminants. Seal the room, and then it'll work properly. But what I was going on to say was that in this heat of summer, probably isn't the best time to try it for me, because I've got the air conditioner on, and you don't want to be kind of baking hot even more in the room by shutting all the windows and doors. So I don't know. Do you seal your room?
I don't. Well, I do and I don't. It's a fairly small room, and the door is closed, and the windows are closed, except for the little window at the top is open a crack all year round, spring, summer, autumn, winter. That window just stays open like sort of an inch in old money, just to let some air through. So that's a difficult question. I do and I don't. So, yes, I do take your point that if you're letting new air into the room, then it's not going to be able to cope. I mean, as for mine, as I said to you when I bought it, it's so hard to know whether or not it's working, because even unlike yours, there's no moving parts. It doesn't do anything. It just sits there, and you just have to have faith that it's worth the money and working. And I think it did. I really do think that it did improve my air in my room. But I presume yours has got a sucking in fan as well, has it? Does it suck the air in with a fan? Hello, Ted, are you there?
Yeah, I was waiting for the over.
Oh, sorry. Over.
If this is going to be the game of the show, then let's stick to it, for goodness sake. Right. What I was going to say was that what I've discovered in my research is that your one works differently to my cheaper one. Your one works by heat, and it basically frazzles inside all the stuff, and it doesn't need any moving parts or any noise to do that, because it's basically a heater, and it's zapping,
yes,
it's cooking the thing. Yeah, right, okay. This one is different because it has got a fan, and it's a very quiet fan, but it has got a fan, and it sucks the air in by the fan and blows it out the top. So there is this movement going on. It's also got filters. The filters are supposed to last for 8 months. When you buy the thing for £50, you get one filter with it. And then after that, they're £9 each. So not too bad. So if they last 8 months, then fine. The 8 months is based on 8 hours a day. But anyway, I think I'll come back to this, because I don't think this time of year probably is the best place to best time of year to actually do this. Over.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, of course, I wouldn't be able to cope with yours. To justify mine is that I couldn't. As you know, if somebody drops a pin next door, I hear it. So yeah, I wouldn't be able to sleep with a fan going on. But good, I'm glad you've got one, and I'm glad it appears to be working for you. Ted, I've got a surprise for you. Would you like a surprise?
Oh yes, please. I would like a surprise.
Listen to this.
Tessalmagundi.
Hey, my new section of the show, Tessalmagundi, which is a link to my blog where I post interesting and not interesting things that don't make it into the MeWe groups. So, yes, thank you for doing me a little jingle. Isn't that nice? Isn't it lovely?
Isn't it lovely? You're very welcome. Right, so what have we got to justify the jingle this week?
In Tessalmagundi, I reckon should be chucked the really interesting idea for charging bikes by wireless charging. So, in somewhere like, I don't know, Scandinavia somewhere, I think it is, they've decided to put pads on the ground and to supply bikes with a kind of sidekick stand which sit on the pad, and the pad then charges the battery that's in the e-bike or whatever it's called to charge the battery while you go shopping. Now, I've no idea how anyone prevents these bikes from being nicked, and maybe they're supposed to be only used at home or something, because they're clearly very vulnerable to someone picking them up and putting them in a truck. But the principal idea I think is really interesting. While you're doing something else, you put the stand down, the stand sits on a Qi charging pad, and it charges your battery. Fiendish.
Voila, perfect. Over. Very good. Yes, very good. Lovely. Keep going.
And the other Tessalmagundi item was my scientific experiments, which I conducted today. My dad really likes baked beans with sausages in them, a tin of baked beans with sausages in. So I decided to analyse one of these, a very scientific experiment, to see how many sausages were in it and what percentage of it was actually sausage and what percentage was beans. Very important experiment, this. I think I should get a grant for doing things like this. Anyway, when I removed all the sausages, it turned out there was 9 of them. There was 9 mini sausages in the tin. And then when I removed them all and put them aside, there was approximately 60% left of the tin with baked beans in, thereby proving that for every 40% of sausages in the world, there are 60% baked beans. Over.
Oh, sorry, have you finished? Right, okay, yes, what's next? Oh, a jingle.
I wonder who bought it.
I wonder who bought the... this is a little bit of a different one today, because this is the biggest amount that I've ever been given for a single purchase. I got 25 quid for this person buying this thing. It's a Siemens EQ6 Plus S300 fully automatic bean-to-cup espresso coffee machine.
Ooh, right up our street.
The real price of it, the RRP, a normal price, is 758 quid. But I did notice that when the person bought it, it was 415. So I guess it must have been on a Prime Day or refurbished or, I don't know, something different. Anyway, the point is, I got £24.95 for this, the biggest amount I've ever got for anything, as I say, and I send out a cheery hurrah to whoever bought it, because that was just great. Of course, I can't know what amount I'm going to get for anything, and I'm sure that the buyer wouldn't have a clue either, but it just so happens that they've obviously done a deal with Siemens, and this has worked out beautifully well. So thank you, mystery buyer, that's really, really helpful. They went to tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK and shopped as normal to help me with my funds. So thank you for that, and well done. Over.
It also looks like a very nice little coffee machine. I mean, as you know, I'm a snob and I want to do all the tamping and baristing myself. But I mean, if you're a sensible person who just wants to push a button and get a coffee, this looks very, very sexy. I like this machine very much. So if you are listening, good sir, or madam, indeed, please let us know what about the coffee machine. Did you like it? Are you happy with it? Do you want to buy another one and really make Ted's day?
It's got lots of little pictures across the front. I think you said, didn't you say that your upgraded Sage one has got pictures and easy use buttons?
There is. I've got a Sage the Oracle, and there is a Sage the Oracle something or other plus, or I can't remember what they call it, which has a touch screen. Oh, Sage the Oracle Touch, yeah, and it's got a touch screen, and certain functions have been moved to be automatic like that, push button. Yeah, so I'm actually personally very happy with the one I've got, because I wouldn't want to go that step further into, you know, driverless cars territory. I prefer to do it myself.
Yeah. Very nice. Anyway, well done, whoever bought that, and thank you so much. You are to be on my Christmas card list.
Still using, still using.
We've had this in the show more than once, so I'll do it quickly, but I wanted to put out a shout that I am still using my fabulous potato ricer. Now, the one way back in 2018 in show 66, your dear late mother Esther Salmon brought this onto the show. I'm not quite sure. I've got the word chef and resh, what is it, chef and resh, I can't say it, chef and fresh force with an apostrophe, chef and fresh force. I don't know whether that's the one that your mother brought on, or maybe the one that I own. I couldn't find any markings on the one that I've got. But in any case, a potato ricer. There are many, many variants available on your favourite store. And basically, you know, it's a sort of cup on the end of a stick with a pressurised thing. And you put your potato in and you squeeze, and the potato gets pushed through a sieve-like holes at the bottom and rices your potato. I actually stopped eating potato rice, but I now use it regularly as a mashed potato aid, because it's a fabulous way of mashing the potato. And I'm still using it, and I've been using it for several years, probably more than any other item we've had on the show, I wouldn't be surprised. It's still in regular use in the kitchen, and I hadn't realised it was that far. What is it, 89, 91, 92, 93, 4? Goodness me, 7 years ago now I bought that, and still going strong. So many thanks to your mother for recommending it, the potato ricer of whatever name you should choose.
She'll turn in her grave. Actually, it was really nice. We're very guilty, my dad and I, though, of not. I think I've used it once since she died. So, but it's really, really nice. You're absolutely right. We spoke about it before, as you say. And when you put boiled potatoes in it, or steamed potatoes in it, and squidge them out, it makes this wonderful angel hair like consistency, and it's really, really nice.
Oh, it's very satisfying to do it as well. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I'm man enough to confess that I made a classic Aidan Bell mistake back in 2018 when you described this thing, and then I said to you, good grief, you'd have to be incredibly strong to be able to press a potato through that thing. And you said, you great ninny, they're cooked first.
Yeah, they're really good. And I thoroughly feel very guilty about not using it enough now. I shall mend my ways. In the meantime, I'm going to bring the pruning loppers to the show, which I brought in September 21 on Whatever Works 145. And they're still going strong.
Yes.
We had an occasion just last weekend where we needed to use the loppers. Now, I went into the garage to find them, and sure enough, they were there. They were a little bit the worse for not being used for so long, but I put a bit of 3-in-1 on them, and they were absolutely fine. And they're really, really strong. The leverage you get from them, they do something really special with the kind of the gearing thingy, the gear drive cutting system, they call it. And you'd be surprised at how strong they are and how thick a branch you can actually get through with them. So yeah, shout out to them. They're the, you'll have to pronounce the name of them, but it's the Anvil
Gruntek. Oh, is it our German? Yeah, Gruntek.
So recommended and still using.
3-in-1? What's 3-in-1? Whatever happened to WD-40? Eh? What's 3-in-1?
WD-40 is not oil. WD-40 is a water repellent substance. It repels water. 3-in-1 oil is actually oil, a lubricant, like the old fashioned ways.
Oh, I've learned a thing. I better play a jingle and shut up. I'm going to read this one for you, Ted, so I get to put a word in edgeways in this show.
What?
This is yours. This is the 1,000 pieces assorted nails set. That's lot of nails. And for the princely sum of £6.99. Good grief. So what's that? That's point... Is that 69p point... No, that's 6p per nail? I can't do the maths.
No.
I can't even move a decimal point two places.
Point 0.06p.
Per nail. Wow. Flathead, concrete wall hanging nails for hanging pictures, woodworking, drywall, DIY, craft, home, construction, etc. I counted there are 10 different sizes of nail in this plastic box. So, that's exactly the sort of thing I give a great hurrah for, that you can just keep in the garage, and then if you need a nail, chances are you'll find one in the box. Good shout, sir.
Definitely.
Thank you.
The reason that we got that set was because some ignorant git walked past the front fence of the house and ripped off one of the whatever they're called, you know, one of the panels, of the upright thingies.
Yes.
And just ripped it off by the looks of it and just left it there. Didn't even take it away. So I said to my dad, right, let's head for the garage and I shall nail it back on. Could we find a single nail? This is a double garage, which has been in use for like 25 years, full of all sorts of junk and crap. Could we find a single nail? No.
Well, you've nailed it.
Ow.
Oh, dear. Ted's Top Tips.
John Doe is first on Ted's Top Tips with the denture tablet alternative use. He uses denture tablets, i.e. Sterident or whatever, to clean water bottles. He says it washes it off easier than soap. Just warm water is enough to get it working instead of anything hotter. Warm water won't damage the plastic or silicone parts if it's not above 50 degrees, he says, informally. Parts that become mouldy and difficult to clean could probably remove tea stains from mugs, etc., if you let it soak longer. I do remember my mother, she's getting a right old mention today, isn't she? she used to use a denture tablet.
Hello, have you taken your tablets today, Ted?
Actually, no, I'm getting confused because I was going to say she used the tablets to clean various things in the kitchen, but it wasn't. It was the dishwasher tablets. As you were, over.
That's fine, Ted. I'm just thinking, I love this. This is fiendish. I mean, I occasionally, when we've got a really stubborn tea mug, etc., I might put a bit of bleach in the bottom and let it sit for a while. I'm thinking I'm going to get myself some denture tablets because, and also, as you said, you know, certain, I can't think offhand of examples, but some things are very difficult to clean because you can't necessarily get cloths or fingers in the right cracks to actually clean it thoroughly. So something, even bits of coffee machine, for instance. I'm going to buy some denture tablets. John Doe, I thank you for this. This is a good one. Thank you very much indeed.
Hurrah.
John Tanzer also jumped in saying he totally agreed too, and that denture tablets clean tannin-stained mugs and cups brilliantly, even plastic ones. Uh-huh. This is good. This is good.
Excellent.
Great stuff. Thank you.
We'll all go and buy some Sterident now, but not for our teeth. My other top tip is to don't shave your head because... apparently hair on the top of your head has got some thermo regulation thing going on. Well, I never knew about this, but I like to keep the top of my head completely shaved, bald, because it's just much easier and saves on shampoo. But apparently, according to this bit of Gemini research, we shouldn't be doing that because...
Hair helps to trap air, which can act as insulation, and it can also absorb and reflect radiant heat. In hot weather, hair can help to reduce the amount of heat that reaches the scalp.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because the logic would be to say you'll keep cooler, but actually, if you're out in the sun and you've got no hair, then you can see the logic because you've got nothing to protect the top of your head, and so you'll actually get more sun on your scalp if you don't have hair. I do get it. I just assumed, like a blanket, I suppose, hair up there would make me feel hotter in the sun. But it's an interesting one, anyway.
It is. I mean, that's why a lot of animals have hair on various parts of the body for that very same reason. And did you know that polar bears' hair, I learned, is transparent? It's not even white.
Yes. And tigers.
Yes, dear.
I want one of those.
I'm just going to let that one go. Tell us about the rolling ruler, Ted.
Right. Do you remember when you used to walk down the road and see some town planner, engineer, blokey with one of these long things with a wheel on the bottom measuring the length of
Absolutely,
the street?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I haven't seen anyone doing that for so long. Is that something they don't do anymore, probably? They've probably got electronic gadgets
exactly,
that do it, haven't they?
Yeah.
Anyway. On Amazon, I discovered that there's a very, 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 very much smaller version of that, which you can just measure stuff with. And I thought, I quite fancy one of those. It's a digital tape measure. It's got an LCD display. It's rechargeable. And basically, it's got two wheels on the bottom. And basically, what you do is if you want to measure, say, I don't know, the surface of a table or something, you roll it from one end to the other. And you get the measurement on the thingy. It's a gadget, and it's completely unnecessary. You can do the same thing with a tape measure, but and who knows how accurate it is? How accurately you've got to kind of go to the first bit and end at the end bit. Anyway, it just looked like a nice little gadget, which would be a good stocking filler for someone that has everything. Over.
I agree. I don't think it's terribly practical or terribly accurate, probably, but it's certainly a lot of fun, and I certainly enjoy gadgets that are fun. So here.
What you will probably be more interested in is the £90 camper kit, which actually looks an awful lot like one of your toolkit thingies from your garage. You've got a central hub thingy, which is the battery, rechargeable, blah, 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 blah. And you've got a load of tools that you can add to it. It costs £90. It's a Kickstarter campaign, but it looks like it's funded and that it's going to actually be happening. It's got a jet fan, in terms of being a fan, a flashlight, so a torch. It's got a USB-C and a charger, so you can charge your phone from it. It's got a pump, an air pump on it, a ambient light mod, whatever that means, a water pump mod, and an alarm pod. and they've got some other things they're working on to add to it. So, yeah, basically it's the same as your, similar to the idea to your thingy, and Moto Mods and whatever else. Looked really nifty, and I would really like one, and I probably would get more use out of this than I would have your tool-y thing one. But I reckon you'd fancy this, wouldn't you?
Yes and no. I mean, it looks to me like a battery with lots of things you attach to it. I know you love all these mod things. I was going to mention the Motorola mod phone that you were very, very keen on back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Again, I'd like to play with one for 10 minutes, but probably not own one, certainly not at that price.
Yeah, okay then.
Just saying.
I want one of those.
You may.
Better
before.
Oh, dear, 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 dear. Artificial intelligence is changing the world, isn't it, Ted? I mean, I don't know about you, but my world is changing in that every 10 minutes I'm asking Gemini one thing or another. It's just seems to be the way we're all going. I had two very contrasting experiences of AI this week, and I thought I'd bring them to the show. I had to contact a company. It doesn't matter what it was all about. I had to send a query into a company, so I wrote a message. And I got an email back pretty promptly, answering my query very well, and best regards, Finn. And I thought, that was fast. So I actually wrote back, "Dear Finn, thank you very much for your response. That was probably the quickest reply I've ever had from a customer services. I'm very grateful. Best regards, Aidan." And then I got a thing back saying, "We are grateful for this. Finn is our AI assistant." And I felt stupid.
Yeah.
I actually stopped and I thought, oh my God, this is the first time in my life I have responded to a message absolutely convinced it was a human being and it was a machine. And I didn't like it in the slightest. It made me feel very uncomfortable and slightly embarrassed, and I really did not enjoy that experience. And that's the thing that I've been comedically dropping hints about, saying Gemini is an it, not a her, not a he, and that an AI should speak like a machine, not like a person. And that's why, because I want to always know whether I'm talking to a human being or to a machine, because I really felt embarrassed after that experience with Finn, in inverted commas, and didn't enjoy it. On the other hand, I had to buy a new printer this week, which I'll be bringing to the show once I've had time to use it and give you a proper review, because I don't want to be balmy and stupid. I popped a message onto Gemini saying, I've got this Canon printer that's broken, and can you recommend a different Canon printer that does the same thing? And it came back and said, have you considered this and that? And I looked and I considered and I said, oh, well, this one doesn't do the paper collating, which I want, so could you do? And I found that I sat there for literally an hour or two having a conversation with a machine. And at the end of that conversation, I had chosen exactly which printer was perfect for me. And I ordered it from our favourite store and it arrived the next day. And I'm very happy with it thus far. And in that case, I knew it was a machine. There was no smoke and mirrors. I knew perfectly well that I was conversing with a piece of, you know, machine somewhere in Los Angeles. And it was fine because I knew that. And I was amazed, as I always am, and impressed at the speed and the accuracy and the collaboration that you can have with the machine. And it really, truly did help me to make a sensible and correct decision of which printer I wanted, looking at all the variables. And it would come back and say, ah, but you said 10 minutes ago that you wanted this and that printer doesn't have it, so I wouldn't recommend that. I'd recommend this. And it really felt like I was talking to an expert at Canon. So the end of my monologue is to say, I love AI and I think AI is fantastic and I think we should go on using it. But I really am nervous about this fine line between a human being and a machine. I think we should always be absolutely conscious of what's machine and what isn't. Amen. Over.
Yeah, I'm constantly thoroughly impressed with Gemini. Just this week we started I had to do a new podcast, and this might get a bit techie, but I'll try and keep it short. I needed a new RSS code file to upload to the Apple directory so that the new podcast would get picked up by the podcatchers. Anyway, the long and the short of it is that I kept trying to upload this RSS file to Apple and it kept rejecting it. And time again, it was rejecting it. And every single time they rejected it, I took the code back to Gemini and I said, why is Apple rejecting this? Here's everything I submitted. And Gemini took it away and said, yeah, you've got an error in there. They don't like people doing that. They don't like this protocol you're using here. And so I said, right, okay then, so give me a list of things to fix. So then I got the list of things to fix and I went through by hand and did it all. And then it still wouldn't work. And I kept bouncing it back and forward. I said to Gemini, look, I've fixed what you told me to do. It doesn't work. So I said to Gemini, right, cut through all this. Just do this for me. Here's what I've done.
Yes.
Here's what I want to do. Give me the code to submit to Apple. And sure enough, she went off. It went off. And it bounced back the code exactly as Apple wanted it. And up it went. And I didn't have to do anything. So Gemini, I know, has got a thing. Coders use it all the time because it's just getting very, very clever. And yeah, I mentioned before, I think, when we were talking about Gemini, that I'm also guilty of... I know that Gemini is a machine, but I said to you, I think, on the last show, I also say thank you to it. And I don't know why I'm doing that. It's just bizarre. Why are you thanking this stupid machine who's not a human? So there's all of that wrapped up into your better before, and I just thought I would chip it in. Over.
Yeah, I've had a couple of instances where I've asked a complicated question and it's come back with the solution and I've gone off and satisfied whatever I wanted to do. And then I've thought, oh, I didn't thank Gemini. I didn't go back and say, that worked, thank you. You know, and I think, well, no, I don't actually have to because it's only a machine. Another one I want to tell very quickly that astonished me. I had a video that was made on a river ship 25 years ago. And there's some scenery very sort of speckly and pixelated in the background. And I sent this video... up to Gemini and said, this video was made 25 years ago on a river ship travelling west of the city of Ibs in, or the town of Ibs in Austria. Can you possibly tell me where it would be after half an hour's travelling? And blow me, it did. It came back and it said, yes, well, river ships travel at this speed, and therefore it probably travelled approximately 7.5 kilometres. And looking at the video that you've sent, I can see from the hillside and the pictures of, and from the images. Just unbelievable. Just really, it's like an expert in everything.
Stunning.
Yeah. But be careful, because it'll come back to bite us if we're not careful. That's the point of my whatever work I've made it before.
I'm reviewing at the moment an Honor phone, and what part of the stuff that comes with that is turning a photograph into a 5-second video, and that is just spooky. I took a photograph of when we were kids, me and my two sisters and my grandma, when we were kids, round a Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to my sister after I'd done it, and I said to her, this is just spooky, and she agreed, because the movements and the way it's done it, it's staggering. We won't soon know what's real and what isn't at all.
The camera never lies. Whatever.
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 Whatever worked.
Yes, whatever worked. We're up to show 81 now. This was Tech Chatterboxes, it was entitled, and it was in May 2019. And Dave Rich was back on the show. I thought by this stage he'd gone he'd gone away, but he obviously come back. Maybe he was coming back on some of them or something. Anyway, I would like to chuck in the Camplux portable tankless water heater, which Martin Dix brought onto the show. Martin Dix is into horse riding and stuff, and he's got stables and horses, and he was wowing about this thing, which you can basically put anywhere. As long as you've got a water supply, you stick the thing on a tree or something, you push the put the one end of the thing in the water supply or to a tap or whatever you've got available, and then the thing that's hanging on the tree processes the water, increases it to a spray, and then you can use the spray to do what you like with. And obviously he used it for cleaning down horses and equestrian equipment, no doubt. But yeah, I just thought it all came back to me, what he said, and it really nifty idea. It's currently unavailable. I can't remember how much it costs, but if I had to guess, I would say about, I don't know, 150 quid or something.
This is interesting. I went through this with my mother about 6 months ago because we had to put some hot water in her bedroom for her. And we tried one of these heats the water as it goes through devices, and it was just absolute rubbish. And in the end, we had to get rid of it and put something else in instead. This looks like a much better version of that. So good call. Probably a lot better than the one we tried. Thank you, Martin. I briefly want to mention SyncThing, 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 which Ian Barton brought onto the show as an alternative to Dropbox. And I remember at the time sort of saying, thank you, lovely, lovely contribution, but I'm happy with Dropbox, thanks. These days, I'm not so happy with Dropbox, thanks. And I've had a look at it, and I've read a little bit about it and watched a video or two. It seems a little bit complicated to set up, but apparently once it's set up, it's a lot better than Dropbox, in as much as A, it's free, and B, there's no limit to the amount of data you can shift around. So thank you, Ian. A belated thank you, 6 years late, to say I may be using SyncThing myself. Very similar to Dropbox in that you can set up folders on two separate machines. The other thing is it doesn't use the cloud. I mean, that's another thing that's very much ticks a box for me. It's cloudless. It's only local. And basically, you can have folders on various computers. Also, not just on site. You can have them, elsewhere. You can connect over the web, but data never stays in a cloud anywhere. Data is only ever stored on the devices to which you want it to be stored, and that appeals to me very much. And as I say, unlike Dropbox, you can store as much or as little data as you want, and it's all free and easy. So there you go.
But different to Dropbox in that one key factor, which is that Dropbox you can access from wherever you are, whatever computer you're on, sign into Dropbox and you get access to your data. So it's different in that respect.
Oh, yes, indeed, because it isn't cloud-based, yes. Yeah. So you have to indeed. Know in advance and set up in advance where you want it to go. But once you've, you know, yeah. But that's the thing. It's a learning curve to get in and set it up. But once it's set up, you've got that lovely miracle of just putting a file in the designated folder on your computer, and all of a sudden, you know, Joe Bloggs down the road has got it in their computer because you prearranged that, which always, even today, I find fabulous, things like that.
The strength of that is, of course, that it's open source and free and Google's not watching you. But yeah, essentially, I do the same thing with Google Drive. But as you say, this is open, you know, source project. No one is watching you and no one apart from your server knows what you're up to.
Yes, which, of course, also means if you accidentally delete it, you're buggered because there's no backup anywhere.
Yes.
Irritating, time-consuming and wasteful bonkers modern shopping. Oh, dear, dear, dear. I had a broken suitcase, which has been broken forever, and I decided I'd finally get round to mending it. I managed to get a wheel for it, so I took off the old wheel and removed 4 screws, and because I'm an idiot, I lost 2 of them. So I needed 2 screws. So I thought, that's fine, I'll pop down to the local ironmongers. Ha, 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 4 candles. No, there are no, as we've bemoaned on this show before. I don't live anywhere near a Robert Dias, which is about the only thing I could think of, and there are no ironmongers anymore. So I went to B&Q, who wanted to sell me a whacking great bag of them. Ditto Wix, ditto Screwfix, ditto Toolstation. Eventually, having been out for, you know, over an hour, touring the shops, trying to buy a couple of screws in a shop, I eventually reluctantly resorted to our favourite store online and spent £7.49 to buy 200 screws, which is 100 times as many as I needed. And that actually went up to 200 times as many as I needed because I found one of the missing screws. So all in all, I took 1 screw out of this box of 200, which was fine. You know, I've put the wheel on the suitcase, job done. All jobs are good and lovely, lovely. But I now own 199 screws that I don't need. And I just think the world's bonkers. And, you know, even... It was very sweet. In both Screwfix and Toolstation, I had very lovely girls there helping me, and they both said, hang on a minute, and rather like a Two Ronnies sketch, produced a glass jar from under the counter full of odd screws and said, if you can find it in there, you know, you can have one. And unfortunately, in both cases, they didn't have any. But the girl in Screwfix actually said to me, we get this a lot. People come in wanting, you know, just 2, 3, 4 yeah. or 10 or 20 of something, and we have to sell them a box of 500. So in that respect, the world has gone bonkers. So there you are.
This is a better before. Arkwright's store.
Yes.
And buying what you need. It takes me back also to my previous item about, you know, the box of 1,000 nails.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's quite handy to have a box of 999 nails in the garage, but I might not have, like you, wanted 999 nails.
Yeah, but I mean, I also have lots of nails in the garage. You know, it's always good to have some in storage, but when you just want one particular nail and you have to buy 200 of it, that's just bonkers. The box of the box of 1,000 nails, that sounds like a Hollywood musical.
Right, I'm chucking Royal Mail back into Room 101, having praised them in Gold Star so many times, because they've ditched the same day as posting redirect option on Royal's on special delivery. Now it's gone back to popping up only after the first failed delivery. And because of my living situation here, I have stuff sent often to my dad's house. My dad is often out because he's having a whale of a time these days doing what he wants, which is great. But there's a failure in delivery. And so what I'd previously been doing, as previously described on the show, is you get the code from the person that's sending you the thing, the Royal Mail special delivery code, you put it in on the same day as the delivery is done, typically about 9 p.m., and then you get it redelivered the next day, the same day as it would have gone to the house. But now they've stopped that. That redelivery thing doesn't come up until the day after they've decided to, you know, they've taken it. It just seems like a waste. They've taken it to the house, all that effort, rang on the doorbell, no one there, taking it back to the thingy for me to then go online and tell them where to send it. They could have done that on the same day like they used to. I don't know why they've stopped doing that, but they have. So room 101 for them.
It's 28 degrees where you are, isn't it, Ted? Take a deep breath. But I do feel for you, because I remember you waxing lyrical about that on a show, saying what a wonderful service it was and how useful to you. So I feel your pain, sir. Let me calm
the
you.
Swines.
I know. Let me calm you down with a Gold Star jingle.
I feel very relaxed now. Who needs yoga? We just have the Gold Star jingle.
Yes.
I'm going to give a Gold Star to Cotton Traders. And the reason is, and this is a bit of a better before as well, it's simply for having the same items in stock as they had for years. So many retailers, especially online, don't do this. And I'm going to name and shame here Big Dude and Jacamo, two places that I do. I go back, say, a couple of years later to get a pair of trousers because I want the same ones. They were perfectly good. And they just don't have them. They clearly do deals with the makers of the cheapest ones they can find, and then that stock thing rotates, and they get it cheap, a similar thing cheaper from somewhere else, so they ditch the previous one and just stock the new one, which is cheaper for them. Anyway, the point is that Cotton Traders might be a bit more expensive, but this week I needed some more trousers, and I ordered the same ones as I ordered 5 years ago, and they were the link from the email worked, took me straight to the page, the exact same item. I was able to order it and got it delivered, and it was just brilliant. And so I just wanted to give them a Gold Star because they, Cotton Traders, are doing what many others, I think, are not doing, holding similar stock, the same stock, for long periods of time, so customers like me can go back with confidence and get what they know fitted, the same thing over.
Yeah, it's that shocking anti-environmental nonsense word fashion, which is just such bunkum. Yeah, just sell clothes. Don't keep you know, you hear about the mountains of clothes being burned because they're no longer in fashion. Yeah, absolute nonsense. I'm totally with you on that one, sir. Here,
I think we're done. Another show is in the can. I'm going to go and have an iced coffee now.
Oh, what a lovely idea. Yes.
We'll be back in, I don't know how long, ever long a period of time we feel we have content to bring and make a show up for you. Hope you enjoyed this one. Whateverworks.works is our website where you'll find links to all this claptrap. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan and no claptrap. And TedSalmon.com is where you'll find links to all the other audio podcasts and our MeWe groups. So, one of which is the Whatever Works one, of course, where we hope that you'll join us and tell us whatever works in your life. We'll bring highlights of that to the show. Please do tell us whatever works in your life. Please go to the MeWe group. Please tell us. Give us some fodder for the show, and we'll love you forever. Last word to you, as always, Mr. Aidan Bell.
This is balmy Mr. Aidan Bell saying thank you for listening to the Esther Salmon Memorial Edition of Whatever Works. Do you know what? It's nice, though. This show is not only about things, but it's also about people. And it's nice to remember your mum and the things she brought to the show. And so, yeah, that's a nice touch. So, keep it going, folks. And let's hope we go on for another 7 years and we can talk about what we brought on today in 7 years' time.
We do have a nice little community, so let's keep it going, please, everyone. One last thing to say, as always, don't forget,
whatever works.